You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station. The BFM Breakfast Grill. Top interviews you can't afford to miss. Presented by the CIMB Group.
Victoria is a state in the southeast of Australia. While it's geographically the smallest mainland state, it is Australia's most densely populated state and home to Melbourne, Australia's second largest city overall. Here to tell us more about facilitating trade and investment opportunities in the Victorian state is the Victorian Commissioner to Malaysia and Southeast Asia, Tim Dillon. Tim, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa.
Tim, let's kick off the show with an overview of the Malaysian-Victoria relationship, especially in terms of trade cooperation. Now, figures I have is that Australia is Malaysia's eighth largest trading partner last year and accounts for 33% of Malaysia's overall trade. That's at the national level. What about the state level?
Yeah, look, at the state level, Malaysia's been a great market for us and one that we're seeing a strong future with. We've got two-way trade at the moment, that's just in merchandise goods, of almost $3 billion. And if you break that down, exports from Victoria to Malaysia are about $690 million, whereas imports from Malaysia into Victoria are about $2.2 billion. So there's a bit of a positive trade outcome there for Malaysia.
Well, what is your office doing to improve bilateral trade relations between the two states and countries, state and country?
Sure. So the Victorian state government has a very proactive approach to trade and investment internationally. We've got 15 offices around the world, all in strategic locations. Back in 2009, we opened the Malaysian office based on, I think, a strong history of trade and investment that's happening in the region and from Malaysia. And my role specifically is to work with our companies in Victoria to enter the market, to find distribution channels, to understand and learn about the market. And at the same time, we'll also support companies also looking at Victoria as a destination. We'll work with them from an investment perspective to make sure they have all the information.
Okay, so if I could break it down to three key areas that you look at, it would be trade, investment, and education.
That's correct. And on the education front, I guess I'll point out that our universities are well known here. I think, you know, the Monash Sunway and the Swinburne campus over in Kuching have put us on the map in Malaysia. But where the real opportunity is moving forward is in the vocational education and training sector. And I think it's about our providers working with Malaysian providers in market to upskill the workforce to meet the incredible demands that your industry is having placed upon it with the rapid growth that you're going through.
I'm curious as to why education's under your portfolio, along with trade and investment. Usually it's handled by a separate organization.
Yes, but we also see education as an export. It's our second largest export to Malaysia. It's valued to us at about $700 million, I believe. So in that regard, it's very important for trade.
Okay. So tell us a little bit more, if we could go a bit deeper into vocational education and training, or VET. Mm-hmm. What can Malaysia learn from, or what can Malaysia benefit from Australia's experience in that area?
Look, we've got quite a bit of experience, I think, in this area. And I have to say, experience gained from making mistakes along the way and then learning from them and readjusting the system. We certainly didn't get it right the first time round, and we're still adjusting. But if I had to point out, I guess, the one key area of our system that works well is it is aligned very closely with industry. So it delivers training specific to industry needs. And in fact, government funding of this sector is linked to industry demand for what skills training they need.
What kind of mistakes, Tim? What are you seeing the same mistakes being made in Malaysia?
Look, I think, you know, in the early days in Australia, we had it fall under the responsibility of different ministries and so forth. I think we're much more coordinated now and have it under a single department. And that makes things a bit easier as far as streamlining goes. I think in the early days too, we weren't as closely aligned with industry as we could have been. So we ran a lot of courses that maybe weren't beneficial to industry, and funded and supported those. They're being streamlined now. It's not that they're not available, but people will pay for those out of their own pocket, whereas the specific ones that are supported by government have to be industry aligned. So I think it's that alignment with industry is the key thing that we've moved in that direction.
And so how can Malaysia learn from this, from matching demand with supply?
So I think it takes a lot of coordination working with industry to get exactly what their needs are.
So getting a lot of feedback from industry.
You have to, it's more than just feedback, your partners. You have to interact. You have to go into this together. So many of our vocational education and training providers work hand in hand with the industry players, the large ones, individual companies, but even on an industry scale. And that's absolutely critical.
So why focus on vocational?
Well, I think that's where the growth is coming in this region. When you go through this rapid growth that you're going to see over the next few years up until 2020 as you reach high income nation status, you're going to see the expansion of a lot of your industries, your manufacturing industries, I think your chemical production and so forth. That's where the demand for extra skilled workers is going to come from. And that's where I think people need to be, you know, properly trained. And through the industry, needs to be telling the government, this is what we need. These are right. What's missing at the moment. These are the skills that we need and work to get that. So our vocational education and training providers, you know, they're looking at the market. They're going to be up here next week as part of our super trade mission to Malaysia. We're going to have, I think, over 20 vocational education and training and higher education providers here, and they'll be meeting with industry partners here. They'll be meeting with local vocational education and training providers in Malaysia, colleges that provide that training, and working with them to see where we can collaborate and raise the bar.
I'm speaking to Tim Dillon, the Victorian Commissioner to Malaysia and Southeast Asia. After this, more about investing in Australia.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Melissa Idris, and today on The Breakfast Grill, we have the Victorian Commissioner to Malaysia and Southeast Asia, Tim Dillon. Tim, we'll move into investments now. As the Commissioner from the state of Victoria to Malaysia and Southeast Asia, you're of course responsible for bringing in FDI from countries like Singapore, Malaysia, Thailand, Indonesia. Am I missing anyone?
Pretty much the whole region,
will
accept it, but my focus is Malaysia, Singapore and Indonesia.
How has the reception been from these countries? Which are you seeing the most promising investment inflows from?
Look, interestingly, we've seen investment come from all three countries. We're going to have a nice announcement for Malaysia as part of our super trade mission next week when the Premier's in town. So I won't unveil that, but I think that's something to watch. That will be nice. From Singapore, we see the likes of Olam. Olam are a commodities trader, but they're invested in almond plantations in Victoria, and they're processing the almonds, then shipping. Almond meal goes into products all around the world. And that's an interesting one too, because I think it touches on a sector that is becoming vitally important. It's food security. And as you see this growth in Asian, across the board, Asian populations and rising incomes, so they're demanding higher protein foods typically, you're seeing a greater demand on our food supplies.
Is there a priority sector or industry in general, agriculture perhaps, or are you looking at automotive?
We look at across the board, so we don't necessarily look down to any one particular sector. If I had to say the sectors that we have advantages in, then yes, food and beverage is something we're very good at in Australia and Victoria. Automotive and particularly sort of advanced manufacturing, so the high tech end, that's something that's quite interesting from an investment perspective. Is I guess one driver of an investment could be to access technologies or a different process of doing things.
Okay. Well, what's the report card on the investment so far from Malaysia?
From Malaysia, look, we've got investors like AirAsia X are in Melbourne, obviously, Malaysian Airlines, so the two airlines, and that's supporting the massive growth in tourism numbers that we're seeing. Currently in Victoria, we get about 95,000 tourists from Malaysia stay overnight, and they spend, I think, 35% of the total income spend in Australia by Malaysian tourists goes into the state of Victoria. So that's a very, very positive for us. You also have companies like Safcol that do the canned tunas. They're in Australia as well. Much of the investment that we see going into Australia and particularly Victoria from Malaysia can often come down to property and residential property and so on. So a particularly good one that's happened recently in Melbourne is SP Setia. They've invested in Fullerton Lane and they've built a very large residential block. I think that was somewhere around the order of $400 million plus. It's a first-class development. That type of investment. So the investment figures that you will see for Australia and Malaysia often capture property.
Well, the investment figures I have, it's quite a big disparity. Malaysian investments into Australia is at 14 billion Aussie dollars, while Australian investments into Malaysia just at 5.7. Why is there such a big imbalance? What can Malaysia do to narrow this gap?
Look, I think it comes down to the big imbalance is it comes down to the appetite of Malaysians for international properties,
Australian properties,
Properties, and you know I guess there's a range of factors that support that, you know, be it education or
But
so
what
on.
Can Malaysia do to attract more investment from Australia, Victoria specifically?
Sure. Look, I think Malaysia is in a good position to attract. I deal with companies all the time from Victoria coming up, covering the region, and they're saying to me, Tim, you know, if we were to set up a base somewhere in Southeast Asia, where should we be? And my office actually supplies the data. We'll supply data on, you know, cost of office space and so forth in Malaysia as compared to Singapore, as compared to Bangkok, as compared to Jakarta. So I see these questions coming in. I see some trends happening. These companies, particularly, say, the manufacturing ones, it's not about them shutting or closing their manufacturing plants in Victoria. Often it's about them already doing offshore manufacturing along the east coast of China, and that's where you've seen incredible increases in wages. So the cost is getting expensive. There's still some red tape and bureaucracy, or a considerable amount, I should say, which is making it hard as well. So they look at Malaysia as a country that has reasonable wage differentials, a good workforce, speaks English, many of them internationalised, they've travelled and familiar with the region, gives them access into other markets as well. It's a very viable option. I think it's up to Malaysia to show that when these investors come in to smooth the way and make it easy for them. And we also introduce our companies to the likes of MIDA and Martrade, who are here to support them, and so they often have that information as well. But it's about, I think, consistency to them, making sure that they succeed in their endeavours, and often they come in and they put a toe in the water, so it might just be a small 10, 20-person operation. But if that goes well, then there's potential to bring some of those other areas of the business, perhaps it's the back office or perhaps it's the marketing and the PR side of things, to come and base it in Malaysia as well. That's definitely an opportunity that I'm seeing companies consider.
So you start with one foot in through the door first.
That's right.
Well, in terms of ranking, going from the data from your office, where does Malaysia stand compared to our neighbours?
From investment?
Yeah, in terms of... the attractiveness of Malaysia to
right, yeah. Okay. So on that front,
on a scale of say how many countries you're looking at, where is Malaysia stand?
I look across ASEAN, and it's not as simple as just saying, you know,
Malaysia's number one, number
two. You put in all the figures and outcomes, a thing. There's pluses and minuses exactly. To various countries. So for example, Vietnam has a lot of advantages, but the language, you know, to a barrier can be something that's quite arduous. It's also still quite regulated by government. In that regard, Malaysia is a much more liberal market, and the language barrier isn't there. So, look, it depends on the industry as well. Are they oil and gas? Are they food and beverage? Where do they need to go? But as a good indication, my office, for example, we opened in 2009. We did fairly extensive research across the region, all the major countries in ASEAN, and we chose Malaysia. So I think that's a good example to give.
Okay, on the flip side, Tim, then what are some of the challenges that you've discovered trying to get Malaysian businesses to invest in Victoria? What have they told you? I'm sure you do a lot of talking to people.
Sure. Look, there is, I think, a need for a greater cultural awareness, you know, on both sides and how we do business. There's a lot of familiarity there, but the business culture and I think we need to understand how the Malaysian investors think and what they look for. obviously, the Australian dollar has made our job harder. It's been quite high, as you know, so that makes investment into Australia more expensive. Recently, that's dropped down below parity with the US, so that's a pleasing result in many regards.
What about labour costs? Has that been an issue? I mean, labour costs and regulations in Australia?
The labour costs, I guess, is an issue. When you compare it to other countries in Southeast Asia and you say, my gosh, look at the cost of labour. But remember, when the likes of SP Seccia go and build their apartments in Melbourne, they're selling for $500,000 Aussie and above. Who pays for those? You know, people need to have those wages to be able to pay for their living. So it's all comparative. But from an investment perspective, I would say that you shouldn't just look at the labour costs. You have to look at the total business. And what you have to look at is it's labour costs, but it's the productivity that you get out of that labour that's more important.
So high productivity from Victorian workers?
Yeah, we have high productivity, I think, is a strong point for us. We also have good use of technology, and that's one way to offset high labour costs is where you bring in technology and advanced processes that reduce the need for labour-intensive activity.
Well, just to go on a little bit of a technical level, what about carbon tax? How does that? How vulnerable is Victoria to carbon tax?
It is an issue for us in that we've got one of the world's largest supplies of brown coal. Mm-hmm. So our electricity is predominantly supplied by brown coal. So a carbon tax in that regard increases the cost of electricity. But so does ultimately the cost of damage to the environment. So we have to manage both, if we want to have a place to maintain Melbourne's reputation as world's most livable city, you have to get a balance, I think.
So this is something that Malaysian businesses going into Victoria will have to be aware of.
The carbon costs?
Carbon costs.
Yes, but I wouldn't say you wouldn't look at the carbon costs. It depends on what your business is. You'd look at the electricity costs and factor that into what you need to do.
Indirectly, it translates into electricity costs, yeah. And a higher cost of doing business there.
Potentially, yes.
Okay. Mm. Well,
but I'd just add on that. I mean, that is correct. But I guess the flip side is then do you open up, for example, there's countries in Southeast Asia that have very relaxed regulations when it comes to carbon and protecting the environment. And do you want to go that way, given that, you know, your tourism industry in this part of the world, and I'm not talking just about Malaysia here, I'm talking about Southeast Asia in general, is such a major, major revenue generator for you. I think you have to find that balance between protecting the environment but also growing your economy through you know, the business.
In doing your job, Tim, do you find it difficult to convince Malaysian businessmen of these things?
It depends. To be honest, I haven't had any issues on the carbon tax issue related. Yes, they talk about, you know, is cost of wages
cost of
doing business and so on. But there's, you know, that's just one aspect to it. There's so many other aspects to it. You know, Victoria and Australia has a very stable economy. For the past, I think, 20 years almost, we've had sustained economic positive GDP growth. So if you're investing in a market like Australia, I think it's a pretty sound investment. It's stable. You won't see massive fluctuations. You won't see political unrest in that sense. It's very stable.
Tim, you've been living and working in Asia for quite a while now. What nuances have you learnt about doing business with such a culturally diverse region, I mean, soliciting business from Asia?
The first thing I'd say is Asia isn't Asia. Asia isn't Asia.
So what is Asia?
Well, what I mean by that is, you know, when companies come and you look at Australia, and we're talking, it's a lot of discussion at the moment about Australia in the Asian century and mm-hmm. so on. And that's a very, very, very good policy or white paper, I should say, and the initiative's got my full support. But what I mean, you know, Asia is not just one big country where everybody looks the same and acts the same. You have an extremely diverse and multicultural makeup, often within countries. You look at Malaysia as an example and your multiculturalism, but then you look at Vietnam and Thailand and Indonesia. So the first thing I tell our companies is, you know, you have to understand that each market is unique, and you have to understand that market. You have to study it.
And what about this Asian Century? It's a white paper, Australia in the Asian Century, was released late last year, and it's about the government's approach to engagement with Asia. Mm-hmm. What would this mean for Malaysian businesses going into a country like Victoria?
Well, I guess what I'd do is I'd take it back. So what does it mean for Victoria first?
Okay.
So for us, it means that we're recognising the importance of this region. In fact, the ASEAN region for Victoria is our largest single export market when you look at it as a region, bigger than China, bigger than India. Okay, it's massive for us. So we're acknowledging that this is the part of the world where the action's happening. For us, we're wanting to be the most Asia-connected state in Australia. So what I mean by that is that we want our companies and our citizens to have a strong understanding of Asia, but not just Asia. As I said, the various countries that make up Asia, to be awareness, culturally aware of it. We want them to visit these markets and understand what the business protocols are and how you do business. We want them to learn about it. We want to educate them about it. So one of the initiatives that the Victorian government's doing at the moment is super trade missions. We're taking missions to India, China, and next week I have landing on my doorstep is the first Victorian super trade mission to Southeast Asia. Now, a super trade mission for us is over 100 companies. On this particular one, I have 300 companies arriving, 450 delegates. It's led by the Premier of Victoria. He's accompanied by four ministers. And they're coming to Malaysia on the 16th, 17th and 18th of June. And then they go on to Indonesia. And then from there, they'll go on to Singapore.
Is there a reason why this super trade mission has been supersized, Tim?
Has been
supersized.
Supersized.
400 over delegates.
I know. We must be mad, right?
Is there a reason for the timing of this?
It's not so much about the timing. It's the reason we're doing things on a larger scale, I guess, is it generates a certain amount of, I suppose, awareness and excitement, not just in market, but with the companies that come on it. And we're very focused on bringing new companies. So we try and break it down. We've got roughly about 40% of the companies on the mission have done some sort of business in Southeast Asia before or Malaysia. 20% might not have done it in the region, but are already exporting. And then the remainder are new to export. So by bringing these people together on a large mission, they get to learn from each other, particularly the new ones. So there's a mentoring arrangement that's going on there. Now, it's not just 300 companies all lumped together. We actually break them down by sectors, and we put specific programs on in each sector where we've basically worked on making sure they meet the right companies in Malaysia in that sector to do business with.
And any priority sector that you mentioned?
There's quite a few. So we've got food and beverage, as
like
we mentioned
said,
before.
Yep.
We've got automotive. We've got urbanisation and infrastructure. Melbourne's consistently recognised as the world's most livable city. So that's a strength that we want to share, I guess, and we think we've got some knowledge about. We're also doing finance and wealth management. We're doing age healthcare and age services. That's a few. Aviation is another one.
Okay. Well, I hope to hear some deals being announced next week from that. That was Tim Dillon, the Victorian Commissioner to Malaysia and Southeast Asia. Tim, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Melissa.
I'm Melissa Idris for BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by the CIMB Group, Southeast Asia's leading universal bank. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.